Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast. The journey of a founder is unlike any other. The chips are seemingly stacked against you as an entrepreneur, but the burning desire to revolutionize the world and leave a lasting impact is stronger now than ever with many founders. Our podcast looks to inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs to pursue their next great idea, educate them on how to make this impossibility a reality, and create a supportive group of entrepreneurs who are there for their fellow founders. Our podcast features only the highest performing entrepreneurs who have bootstrapped, raised funds, built companies, sold companies, and have experienced life-altering challenges and some significant triumphs. Join us on this journey with the Founders Odyssey podcast and listen in on this upcoming episode. Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we create an environment for founders to thrive through education, inspiration, and a supportive community. My name is Nathan Bird, and I will be your host today. Through his multiple years of experience in culture building, excellence in implementing systems, and innovative thought leadership, our special guest today is an outstanding entrepreneur. By using his years of talent mixed with his passion to create community, his latest venture, Mixtape, is bringing those two together. Their social music platform is aimed at bringing nostalgia back and providing quality music to the masses. Let's welcome Rod Duffin to the podcast today. Rob, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's Rob Duffin. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be on your podcast.
Absolutely, Rob. So what I'd like to ask, and this is something that really gets to the heart of it, because a lot of people have different definitions of what an entrepreneur is, but also what does entrepreneurship mean for you?
That's a great question. I love that question because I think entrepreneurship can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. I had a business partner at one point who would say that he believed that entrepreneurship could change the world and could fix all the problems in the world. And I tend to agree with him. Because, you know, with entrepreneurship, incentives are just in the right place. You get people who want to, I mean, I guess my definition of entrepreneurship, I would say, is you've got people who want to solve problems for other people and or for themselves. And when you have people who want to solve problems and they're incentivized to do so in the type of, a structure that we have in the United States and many places in the world, problems can be solved. And so people dig in deep and they look at creative ways to serve markets. And if they're not able to serve markets, they're not compensated. The incentive, the incentive motivates them to pivot and to change and to find better ways to solve those problems. So it's a system that delivers the high standard of living that we have today, which I love. I think we all benefit from that. And go ahead.
No, that's interesting you say. So there's a creativity within entrepreneurship, and every entrepreneur has creativity, but there's also innovation that comes from it. But at the end of the day, we are all looking to solve problems. And my question to you is, where did that bug come from? And when did it really start to where you started to see things from a different point of view, a different lens?
For me, I didn't know that I had kind of that entrepreneurial itch until I was getting ready to graduate from college. And I was actually pre-med back then. And so I'd taken all the pre-med courses. I thought I was going to go on and be a doctor. About halfway through, I shadowed a lot of doctors. My dad's a doctor. I talked to tons of doctors. And it came time to take the MCAT. And I realized, I saw my friends taking that. I was like, I don't think I want to do this. So I started to really do a lot of, introspection and asking myself, what do I want to do with my life? And honestly, I don't remember where it came from, but I remember walking through the Tanner Building on BYU campus and seeing being around, I guess, the business students. I don't even know what I was doing there, but just kind of thinking, I'm interested in business. I want to take some business classes. So that's what I did. I took a bunch of business classes. I was one class shy of a business minor, and I just didn't want to take that class. I was less concerned about the degree than I was about just getting the information. So I took the classes, And I loved the classes. And then when I graduated from BYU with my human biology major, I kind of went on to, right out of college, I started a small wireless internet company with my cousin back in 2002, when a wireless internet company should have blown up. And we just did all sorts of stuff wrong, and we did some stuff right. And it was a great learning experience. But from there, you know, I just kind of went on from starting different companies, joining companies, just being kind of, just kind of scratching that entrepreneurial itch over the past, you know, 20 years.
Yes, it's interesting to see the evolution of those that are out of the proverbial entrepreneurial loop and haven't really been put into that, because there's a complete difference between somebody who's within a system, within organization, and they have a specific job to accomplish, right? Whereas you have the people that literally, I would like to look at it like a bushwhacker, right? Where you have to go straight ahead into the unknown. And then that's where your innovation, your creativity, you know, studying the market. So it's really, it comes down to, it's like a mixture, right? And it's got to be this perfect mixture. So, you know, with you going through that system, and what really sparked you first, though, in entrepreneurship? You know, you said, well, I didn't even know why I was there. Well, there had to have been maybe a reason, or how were things sparked from, you know, that interesting time in your life?
Yeah, you know, I think I've discovered that since then. At the time, I didn't really know. I just knew that some of these business classes were interesting to me. But over the past 20 years, as I've been as I've been deeply involved in entrepreneurial ventures, I've discovered that I, you know, to a large degree, I guess I'm just the kind of person where I can't help myself. You know, if I've been in jobs that are less entrepreneurial, and I'm starting a side hustle, you know, I'm starting a business on the side to solve a problem or to do something that I think is interesting or I'm passionate about. And I've done that a handful of times, where it's just kind of, I guess it's just kind of in me. I don't really know how else to really describe it. It's just, I just have to be kind of working on something, that I have to be building something.
No, that's good. Yeah. And I think all of us out there, you know, and myself included, are all builders and architecting something that is really going to change the world. And look, we don't know when that idea is going to pop, right? When that conversation is going to spark something that really takes us to this next level of creativity. And then we start to follow those things. So I'd say right now, just to motivate you guys out there, just to keep on going down different roads. And, you know, if you hit on one, then go a little bit deeper, go a little bit deeper and start asking questions, right? Because it's the quality of the questions that you ask in life that define your life, really. And, you know, I'd ask you, actually, so what type of questions have you been asking yourself, and, you know, to get the specific result that you are looking for? And this could be around, let's talk about company culture, because that's something that you have had a lot of experience around. So what type of questions do you ask to get the result that you're needing?
What kind of questions do I ask? Well, in my mind, it business really comes down to people. It's people and processes. I think business success really comes down to people doing the right things. And then in order to scale, you have to have the right processes in place. So, you know, I ask myself, who are the people that the company needs, and what do those people want? Because I think people and employees are either on a path of fulfillment or they're on a path of frustration. If they're moving towards one of those two things at any given time. So it's important, I think, as business leaders, to have our finger on the pulse of where is that employee? Are they moving towards fulfillment, or are they moving towards frustration? And if we're asking ourselves that, then we can be helping to lead our team to that fulfillment, to that greater contribution to the business. So from a culture standpoint, I think that's an important question to ask. Maybe to the broader question of entrepreneurship. For me, I'm always asking myself, you know, what makes me happy? What makes the people who are closest to me happy? And oftentimes the answer is serving the people who are closest to me. You know, that's what makes me happy. And that's an ongoing an ongoing journey, I think, too.
Share with us some failures that you've made in creating culture within an organization and ways that you've been able to overcome those and become a better leader.
Yeah, I've been in a few roles where I've been tasked by upper leadership with kind of helping to oversee the culture of the company. I've also been in roles where I've been the one, you know, in where I've been that upper leader, you know, to kind of deliver, to help deliver or foster a healthy company culture. Failures, you know, I found that it's that company culture comes from two places. It comes from the highest level of the organization and everywhere else in the organization. So, you know, where I've found myself in roles where I'm kind of, you know, not at the highest part of the organization, the only way to be successful in that kind of role is to be aligned with the highest levels of the organization, with the CEO or whoever's calling the shots, because ultimately that's where the table is set for the culture. And then it's either accepted or rejected by the rest of the company. And when there's alignment there, then the company can have a really healthy, thriving culture. But when I've been in those roles, if I'm not on the same page as the CEO, it just doesn't work. So I can be trying, if I see things differently, I have to sell that CEO on why, you know, this change needs to take place. Because if I go and try to do it on my own, that's where I failed. Because there's just, it has to come from the top.
I've got a few things there. There's communication that has to occur. It's got to be streamlined, and it's coming from top-down leadership. As we all know, that the CEO or those that are, I don't mean to say in charge, because we're all in charge of specific lanes that we have, but that's where that communication has to come in play. And, you know, of course, now that you are sitting in a co-founder role, that you have the ability to create this culture from more of a higher level position, right? To be able to, you know, implement that into an organization. What ways will you be implementing specific types of culture within your business presently based on what you've learned in the past?
Yeah, that's a great question. With smaller teams, it's different than with larger teams. With smaller teams, I think where you're able to, I mean, really, so much of it is communication, like you said. With smaller teams, you can have those conversations regularly with everybody. You can have one-on-one conversations. You can have group conversations, and you can be sharing the vision. You can be helping people understand how their job relates to, you know, how their contribution relates to the larger vision of the company and what the company's doing to help make the world a better place, which I think is at the heart of helping people to feel fulfilled in their jobs. So with smaller teams, those conversations are happening between, you know, the founders and everybody else. And if they're not, they really should be. On larger teams, you know, as companies grow and scale, especially during really fast growth. And when I've been a part of really fast growing teams, that communication gets really hard, really fast, because all of a sudden the employees who are used to being around, you know, the founders don't have that direct line of communication anymore. Now there's layers of leadership in between. So it's really important that those communication channels are clean between the upper leadership, you know, going down throughout the organization, so that everybody still understands how their contribution matters and the difference that they're making.
Let's glean some wisdom from you right now in regards to the difference between a small and then large communication processes, because it sounds like, you know, you've been a part of hyper growth companies where, like you're saying, things are getting lost in translation, but you've been in hyper growth situations where it's probably been a very seamless communication or open policy, right? So share with us your experience there and how we can implement that into our small or large corporation.
Yeah. The number one thing I found is that the company has to stand for something. And that needs to be clear to everybody. And it's really internal marketing, you know, it's got to be a very clear message, but it can't just be, you know, it can't just be platitudes. It can't just be words that you put on well-designed posters on the wall. It has to be stuff that the company really stands for. And where I've seen that done really well was when I was at Silencer Co. Years ago, here in Utah, gun silencer manufacturing company. The company positioned themselves really well in the market. And then also internally with employees, where the company stood for gun rights and freedom and, you know, Second Amendment and all this stuff, which, you know, with that kind of people get really passionate about that. And so that was a really good position for Silencer Co. to be in, where it resonated with the market and it also resonated with employees. So we were able to, you know, really get the messaging very, very clear. And we got people coming from all over the country to join our team as we were growing, because they wanted to be, they understood what we were doing and wanted to be a part of that. So when you're able to consolidate the messaging down into something that's really easy to digest and for people to wrap their minds around, I think that's the most important thing, because then everybody throughout the organization feels like they're making a difference. Now that can't just be said once and left. It has to be something that not only is repeated all the time, but it also has to be acted on. The company has to be actively engaged in meaningful ways that double down on what the company stands for. And Silencer Co. did that really, really well.
Action metrics, measurements, internal marketing, and a simple message is what I got from that. And I think that, you know, for those out there within your corporations, it's extremely important that you follow, you know, those three things, having actionable metrics that you can measure within your organization, creating that and continuing to update internal marketing that goes out to all of the people within your organization, and make sure that it's a simplistic message that can be duplicated to the different people that are part of the organization. Rob's got a lot of wisdom, so you guys should probably zone in on this guy. So Rob, that brings us to the present, and we're excited to hop in and learn a little bit about Mixtape and how you are implementing some of this years and years of experience within culture building, but also with problem solving, but then also marrying that with your passion. So share with us a little bit about Mixtape and what we can expect moving forward.
Yeah. So Mixtape is, it's called Mixtape Social Music. It's social music. And my business partner, Isaac, he and I have been friends for a long, long, I mean, he's one of my oldest friends. We've been friends since, like, you know, junior high. And we've had our different career paths and always kept in touch. He's the original founder. It's his idea originally. And he spawned the idea. I'm going to probably butcher his story. He tells it a lot better than I will. But really it's seeing how, you know, there's this generation where, and I'm a member of this generation. I've always loved music. Music's always been a really big part of my life. And, I ran a music production studio for about 12 years here in Utah and worked with tons of talented artists. And, you know, kind of through the digital revolution, where we went from, you know, it was vinyl records way back in the day, then it was cassette tapes, and then it was CDs, but then it was digital music. And the biggest thing that was lost, I think, going from you know, the physical media to digital music, is the connection around sharing that music. You know, there was a time when I used to burn CDs for people of music that I just loved, and I would take that CD, I would look him in the eye, and I would say, "You've got to listen to this for these reasons." And then I'd, you know, if I bought a CD, I'd have the album art, and I could look through, I could read the lyrics, I could see the art. That was part of the experience. Now with digital music, you don't get the album art. That's lost, and the sharing piece is much more stale and sterile. Where, sure, you can share, you can make a public playlist on Spotify, but you can't that. In my mind, that doesn't really count as sharing music. Sharing music is when there's a connection around that music. So with Mixtape, that's what the app brings back, is the connection. So you can respond to mixtapes, you can comment on mixtapes, you can, you know, it's all user curated. You create a mixtape, you add your art to the mixtape. So you've got that art element back in. You can add a voice intro where you can hear the passion in someone's voice of why this music's important. And then you share it and you connect around music that you love with other people. And we've had a great response so far. The app's been live in the iOS App Store for about 2 months now, a little over 2 months. And it's been a wild ride. It's been a lot of fun. People have really responded well. I don't mean to go on too long about that, but that's really what we're doing with the app. And we've got lots of great features that are coming out that we're really excited about. They really double down on the social element of it and the connection around it that we're excited, really excited about.
Well, as you know, music has a place in a lot of people's, hearts, what they have done in their life, and connecting with somebody who shared something with them. And it sounds like this, you really are solving a problem in this specific lane. It's very niche, I'd say, but as far as bringing more life to the digital aspect of music, I think is extremely important. And it sounds like you guys are on the right path there with this one. What's got you excited about the continued growth and how you're going to start rolling out these new, I guess, features, but also have you thought of some kind of big ideas that this could go out to or expand in?
Yeah. I think it was Reid Hoffman who said, if you're not embarrassed of the first version of your product, you've launched too late. and that's really the approach that we've taken. We launched an MVP a couple months ago with really, we asked ourselves, what is the core of this product? And we launched that knowing that it was missing features that we, were kind of holding back a little bit because we wanted to get user feedback. We wanted to know how people were going to use the app before we invested in developing those features. So we've gotten a lot of great feedback, and we've got great, some really good social features that are, in fact, some that are going to be released. I hope I don't speak out of turn here, but some that are on track to be released this week, and others that are in the can for the next few weeks. They really do foster that connection. Some of the things I'm really excited about, in addition to some of those features, are partnerships that we have on the horizon that I can't speak too much about yet, but others who are super passionate about what we're doing that have followings of people who are passionate about the exact same stuff, connecting around music. And we've got some really fun partnerships in the works that are going to that's going to help spread the app to more people and be used by people in ways that are going to help their platforms do even more of what their mission is.
Yeah, that's good. I want to take our listeners back to the very beginning here just a little bit, because you said, so there's a co-founder, who had initially had the idea, they brought you aboard. So what have been kind of the growing pains through this process? Because it's an odyssey, as we all know, the founder's odyssey. Yeah. And, what are some of the things that you've learned that you could share with our audience through the process of developing an app, to doing your customer research, to laying out your strategy canvas, to, doing your market analysis, to your competitive research and whatnot. So what are some of the things that you learned through that process?
Yeah, so gathering that customer feedback, which is so important, you're always kind of walking a line, because you're getting feedback that's always valuable. But sometimes you can't jump it. Obviously, you can't deliver what everybody wants. You have to prioritize, and figuring out really what is the most important, and juggling your, balancing your resources. We're always saying how, man, I wish we could just develop everything right now. But one, that's not really wise. Obviously we're super excited about certain stuff, but we want to take it one step at a time, where we're developing the most important things and delivering those things and delivering them well, and making sure they're adopted, and gathering additional feedback, and then going back to our list and reprioritizing, getting additional feedback. So that's always you're kind of walking in a tightrope a little bit, trying to figure out what to do. And it's really important that we get it right. you know, we don't want to, you make a mistake, and that can, in the early stages of a company, that can be very costly. So far, I think we've been blessed to get great feedback, to be able to make good decisions, and so far we're on a good path, I believe.
Speak to the founders out there that have an idea. They've gotten to the stage where they have an application, and what they're really needing is to continually having that customer feedback. How have you guys created a pipeline for updates and quick feedback in the product iterations and whatnot? How have you developed that line of communication? Is it through, you know, multitudes of people that you're receiving this feedback? Do you have beta test? I mean, you have testers, right? And you've already been at launch for 2 months, but how do you receive that feedback? And then when do you decipher to make changes based on your small group of people?
So Isaac Ellsworth, my partner, he and I are every day we're talking to customers and partners and users. We're traveling quite a bit, going to events. And what's fun about this is a lot of the events that we're going to are concerts from, you know, from some of the bands that we've loved forever. And you know, it's funny because sometimes, not to get off topic, but sometimes I'm talking to somebody, and the fanboy in me is trying to get out. but we're having like this peer-to-peer conversation about the app and how it's beneficial to them and how they love it, and it's a lot of fun for me. But we've got bands who are adopting this app and see the benefit of how they can connect with their fans in a way that's really never been possible before. So that's a lot of fun. So, you know, talking to users, talking to customers, talking to partners all the time, that's really, really valuable. And also looking at the App Store reviews and taking those things seriously, you know, listening to what people are asking for, what people are saying. We have a street team that's out, talking to people as well and kind of bringing that feedback back to us also. So, you know, we take that feedback, we discuss it internally, and we're all users as well. You know, we're all passionate about the music and the connection as well. So, you know, we're building something that we love also. So, you know, we take that into account as well. Our development team, Silverpine Software, fantastic group. They're very, very talented and very easy to work with. And we're very lucky to have them as partners. We meet with them regularly as well. And they've got a whole roadmap of all the stuff, you know, we'll meet with them, and they have a lot of input too, because they're in there using the app as well. So we coordinate with them, and between all of us, we put our heads together and try to make the best decisions possible.
Okay. So from a system standpoint, you've got your runners out there, like you said, you have yourself. And then, you know, from a tool standpoint, you know, really what I'm trying to do here is, if for those that are listening, what a systematic approach and tools would you use from really a software standpoint to, you know, is it through Google Sheets? Is it through Google Docs where you're just taking notes? Like, how is the best way that you found as a founder? And many people probably have a lot of different things they use, but for you guys to extract and then to decipher and then to act upon, what system have you implemented? I know you were talking a little bit. I'm just trying to think of, like, from a tool standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great question. So yeah, we do. We use Google Docs, Google Sheets extensively. In terms of the specific tool for managing the roadmap for the product, Jira is the software platform that we use to manage all of that. And we all sync up on that. The Silverpine team uses that extensively as well.
Okay, good. Yeah. So customer feedback coming in. I mean, because look, everybody out there this is so, it's universal. It doesn't have to be an app necessarily, because you need to have customer feedback, right? And you need to have a repository of all that feedback that you are deciphering. And then you also have to prioritize through your deciphering of all that information. And that's where your communication amongst your founders come in handy. And that's where your trust and your relationship and your roadmap and your legacy lifestyle and your long-term approach needs to come into factor as well as you begin to build out the company. But you know, and that's where, if you do exit planning, where it's so important to understand, you know, are we going to exit in 2 years or 3 years, right? Or is this going to be a business that we just continue to build because it's just something we're passionate about? So I know I said a lot there just in a short, quick burst, but it's begin at the with the end in mind, but then also continue to work backwards and then implement tools, systems, team, treasure, talent, in order to accomplish your goals. So, man, we've got some things coming up here in the future. And first, I want to start with you personally. What are you personally excited about in the future and what that holds? Because look, being a founder is not just a technical job, right? You're the CEO of your life. You're the CEO of yourself. You're the CEO of your family, right? And I want to talk to you a little bit about what you're excited about for the future, but also presently with family and where you're moving and, you know, what's got you excited about life in general.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What has me excited about life in general? I love what I'm doing with Mixtape right now. And I love my family. You know, those are, I'm working from home, which for most of my career, I haven't worked from home, but I really enjoy, you know, taking a break, going upstairs for lunch and being with my kids. We've got 5 young kids and I'm actually shocked that you haven't heard them in this interview. They're usually running around and, but they're super respectful as well. So I'm excited about, you know, growing a young family. I love my wife. I'm excited about, you know, being able to spend more time with her, working from home now. I mean, there's so much to be excited about right now. There's a lot going on with not only my personal career, but just, you know, amazing things in the crypto space. You know, that's an area that we actually talk quite a bit about, how we incorporate things on blockchain into what we're doing. And that's a really exciting space right now. And Utah is such a great place to be with a lot of innovative companies that are doing amazing things in that space as well. So, you know, I don't know how much you want to dig into any of that in this, but those are just a few things that I'm passionate about.
Well, and the reason why I ask is because many times as founders, we can get super zoned in and focused at the task at hand, and we'll start to forget about the most important things in our life, you know, relationships and friendships and family and, you know, these things that seemingly can, quote unquote, take us off of the path that we're seeing that we really want to build. But yet it's really about creating balance in life. And it sounds like, you know, you're on a good path in that regards, and you've got a good balance, right? And, you know, it's taken many years probably to accomplish that balance and understanding. You know, speak to that actually. Speak to the balance that you've been able to create. And for the founders out there that are super focused right now, how can they implement some of those systems that you've put into your life?
It's a day-to-day thing. You know, I think the minute that I feel like I've achieved balance, that's when I start to teeter. It's an ongoing thing that I think, especially, you know, founders and entrepreneurs, we have to constantly have our finger on that pulse and make sure that we're every day asking ourselves, am I overdoing it, you know, in any element of my life? And I'm blessed to have a very supportive and understanding wife who supports me in, you know, as I'm scratching my entrepreneurial itch, you know, because it takes a toll on the family. It really does. And I think that's the number one thing, is as much time as we're giving to growing our businesses, we have to be constantly making sure that the most important things in our lives, which really are more important than business, being, you know, for me, it's family, it's my spirituality, it's making sure that I'm even though I'm, you know, dedicating a lot of time to building the business, that I'm not neglecting the people in my home and the people in my neighborhood. And that's hard. It really is. It's really easy to think, well, hey, in this phase of my life, I can neglect this over here and neglect that over there. I think we have to be careful with that.
Yeah, I completely understand and agree with you on that. And there can be times where just doing nothing is worse because you continue to drift, and you'll drift in those specific areas, like you're saying, that you may still want to continue to develop. It's like with our relationships, right? If we're not intentional about creating those relationships, maintaining those relationships, then they'll drift naturally. It's like our health. If we don't do anything with our health, then it will naturally just drift. And us doing nothing actually is worse. So, you know, I'm glad that you've implemented those things into your life. And so is there anything more you want to tell us about Mixtape, and where do we find you, and how can we follow this growth and excitement throughout the company?
I'm going to take a step back, if you don't mind, really quick, because sure. I like that you're asking questions about specific processes. A lot of my answers are more general and high level. I'm going to take a step and talk about maybe, I know we're kind of running near the end of our time.
Okay. We're good.
Okay with it. Some of the things, going back to the previous question about that balance, I'm going to share just what I do. And then sure. People out there listening can take it, you know, I'm going to talk about specifics about how I kind of do that. I look at it day to day, and I try to make sure that I get the most important things in every day. And if not every day, like, you know, the vast majority of the time. So I think you mentioned you played basketball this morning. I did P90X for 30 minutes, you know, so I try to at least 2 or 3 days a week get some exercise in so that I get the blood flowing so I don't neglect my body. Every morning we gather our family for 10 minutes and we have what we call a family devotional, where we pray together, we sing together, we read some scriptures together. And we make sure we get that time first. And then we do what we call 21 hugs, which we've got, there's seven of us in the family. So we each hug each other. So it becomes 21 hugs. And we do that every day. And then we try to make sure we eat dinner together. And those are the things that daily we make sure that we do. And that, I think, is so important, because those are the little things that, you know, let's say you do that one time, it's probably not going to make a difference. But you do that every day, years later, you're in a different place as a family. You know, it makes a big difference over time. And that's what we're working towards. That's really what our goal is, to make sure that as a family, we get those things in. And it's the same thing with business. It's making sure we have really good processes in place, like I've just described for our family, where, you know, these are the things we do every day. These are the things we do every week, that little by little, you know, we create good habits. So we're creating a good culture and creating good momentum forward that we're able to carry. But it really does come down to getting specific about what are we doing, why are we doing it, and doing it every day.
Well, and for those out there that, you know, that maybe they're not married, but yet you still have relationships in life, and it's how you're intentional about those building those relationships. For those that are married, it's about creating those, you know, boundaries and knowing what your priorities are in life and listing them out and being very diligent and disciplined, because discipline equals freedom. And when we have those in place, then, you know, our lives really become a lot better. And it sounds like, you know, once again, you're implementing those proper procedures, both from a corporate and also from a relational and in a family standpoint. So this has been a wonderful interview, Rob, and just getting to know you a little bit better about, you know, who you really are. But also what you're excited about, because I think it's so important to understand who the founder truly is, and, you know, who is it behind the screen, right? Because when the lights are out, and not saying the lights are out necessarily, but it's like, who is Rob, you know, who's running Mixtape? And, you know, I think that's really important. So any last words before we close out here? Actually, share with us real quick, where can we find Mixtape?
Yeah. Yeah. So right now we're on iOS. So Android is on the roadmap. It's in Jira. you can download it by searching Mixtape Social Music in the iOS App Store, or you can just go to sharemixtape.com and download the app. I invite everybody out there to download the app and come create some mixtapes and connect over the music you love. You know, I think about every important relationship in my life, music has been a part of it. And that's what I want for people. I want people, you know, let's break down these walls. There's so much division in the world. Music is something that we can agree about, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's really what Mixtape is about, is let's connect over the music that we love. So I hope anybody listening goes and downloads and come find me. I am just at Rob on Mixtape. So come check it out, and love to see more people on there.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again. And if you guys like this episode, feel free to subscribe and also share with your friends. This has been the Founders Odyssey, where we create an environment for founders to thrive through education, inspiration, and a supportive community. My name is Nathan Bird, and I look forward to creating another show for you again. So thank you for listening.